here earlier on Tuesday nights. I know that was it's kind of a pain, and we kind of went a bit over last week. We'll slow down our pace a little bit, but I think it'll be, in the long run, better for everybody. So here was your class assignment that you had. Don't worry about the assignment three thing. That's because the guys that have the red books, they had the first their first two assignments were based on bibliology, which is what I removed in the black books. That's the that's why the difference in the page numbers. So this is what you had to do. Now what I've done here, and I'll try to do this each time to put that slide up there, is remember the instructions from the very beginning, okay? That this way I've designed this, the method that I'm teaching it by, is designed so you can go back point by point by point by point, step by step, in other words. So this follows, everything follows in this, what is that, 6 points there, everything that we've done to this point. We're a little shady on the number six because I figured I'd really nail that down tonight, okay? But what I've done is I've put the page numbers there so you can see, if you get confused on any one of those points, that's your pages to go back. Remember, that class assignment is only from what we've gotten to that point, all right? So don't forget that. So, for an example, if you get confused on what it means to paraphrase or to outline, go back to where you find it in the pages before and read it again, because that's where we're following that precisely. Now, I know as we dive into this that because Maria and I talked, and obviously you've got the blue-pink thing going on and seeing things differently than others, it makes total sense to me. However, apparently, pink sees it differently. We'll leave that at that. But anyway, because she says the one of the things that's happening, and I know this might be, this could be really, but you say, well, I can't, if I paraphrase and I start breaking it into the sections and stuff like that, and asking those questions, I'm already basically doing stuff. And I understand, I realize that. But remember, the only way that I can teach this is to break it into chunks. Now, it's not, I said from the beginning, it's not going to make a lot of sense right now, but 3-4 weeks into this thing, it will. You'll see how it all builds upon one another. This is just the initial aspect. So in other words, when I do an observation of a particular passage, this is all done at the same time, and I don't want to get into word studies and stuff yet because we're not there, but at the same time, I'm thinking through the passage, I'm paraphrasing it in my own words, grabbing up my theme, I'm looking at the breakdowns and the thoughts and the changes and stuff like that, And in other words, sort of defining my outline and so on and so forth. At the same time all of that's happening, I'm spotting words. But we haven't talked about words, so I don't want you to do that yet, okay? But it'll make more sense to you when we get down the road, all right? So having said that, this is the only things that you were supposed to do for tonight. Remember, I said don't get ahead of yourself, even though I know some of you probably can, and that's okay. But then remember, you'll just have to slow down for the rest of us, okay? So what we had to do there, the first thing was to read carefully 3 times and identify the type of literature and the context, okay? So basically what I'm asking you to do is that first step that we said we're in the back there, we talked about read and reread and reread. In other words, saturating yourself with the passage. And you want to identify the type of literature. Okay? So remember, because we said there are different focuses, and those were in your book back on page, you can see right there. In the black books 3 and pages 3 and 4, and the red books 9 and 10. So you could go back there and determine which literature you had, since it's the book is Ephesians. But because it's Ephesians, we know that it is it's an epistle. Okay? So we want to follow the rules. They're not rules, that's not a good way to say it, but the focus points of that, all right? Now again, this is going to be clarified the more we go, so if you're not quite grasping that, don't worry about it. But it's back there and it'll identify that. So we know that we're looking at an epistle, so we instantly know what are the main things that we're going to focus on. Anybody? Right? Yeah. Well, remember, doctrine, thought flow, ideas, arrangements, all that stuff is going to come into play when you're focusing on, or when your passage is an epistle, okay? Yeah, there you go. Instruction, yeah. So you want to be looking at that, that's the stuff that you want to be paying attention to as you read through that, Okay? Now, after you've read it through a few times, and I would assume everybody read it through a few times. I know there are certain ones in here that didn't do it until like last night. But we'll just leave those folks out of the equation. You'll find if you'll do this on a regular basis, a daily basis, 14 verses, you guys, 14 verses. You can read those in like 3 minutes. Okay, so just read them every day a couple of times, and because you saturate. That's the point. You saturate yourself. Okay, and then you want to put that into your own words. In other words, paraphrase. So a couple of you throw out your, what's that?
Okay, you said 10 words or less.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
My first paraphrase.
Yeah. Exactly.
I probably get 12.
Yeah.
So,
that's okay. Yeah.
Verse and going. Okay, I paraphrase.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And that's the reason I said that. Remember what I said last week? 10 words or less, the point is what I was trying to get. Remember the guy, I told you the guy that turned the homework in and he had this, I had like a commentary on the stinking thing. And I just didn't have time to read 15 pages of a paraphrase. You know? So the point of it's not, I'm not going to, you know, we're not trying to hold it to 10 words. The point is say it in as few words as possible. That's probably a better way to say it. Say it in as few words as possible. How's that? Does that make more sense? Okay. If possible, 10 words or less. But anyway, all right, so now that we know that, so a couple of you guys share, and I want to hear from different people, not all the same people all the time. Tell me, as you thought this, what was your impressions of the passage? What did you, in your own words, what is Paul communicating in them 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1? Anybody?
I'll go, because I might be using love pills, but I got by God's grace through Christ, we are
Amen. Good job. Absolutely. Yeah.
Took me a while, but...
Yes, ma'am. Amen. That's 10 words or under, isn't it? You did good. I'm starting to fall this way, you guys. Somebody speak up over here. Go ahead, John. Amen.
What is he saying?
Good. All these are good. Now, let me stop here. Don't worry about throwing your paraphrase out there because it's like, oh, that's not what I saw. Remember, I was talking to a few guys earlier. I can't remember even who I was talking to. Remember, this is God's word. You have his spirit. He is going to reveal to you as an individual what he wants you to see. There is no right or wrong. His dealt with redemption, forgiveness, I think is what you said. Okay, what was yours again? Just one key word. Inheritance. She focused on inheritance. You just focused on blessing. You see? All words and thoughts in that passage. But look at the diversity we've got here. And this is why when you listen, if you listen to a series of pastors, or different pastors, on the same passage, they will approach it differently because it means something different to each of them. Okay? So don't worry. There's no right or wrong or out in left field. That doesn't happen. This is God's word. It's as simple as that. So you're going to see what he wants you to see. And it may be entirely different than someone else. And when we get to outline, and when I draw this up here on the board, I'm going to show you how I broke it down. I don't want you to just go, oh my gosh. Because remember, I've taught this passage about 15 times, okay? So, you know, take that into consideration. And maybe I saw breaks in the passage that you didn't see. It's okay. It's okay. It really is. Okay? Somebody else. Paraphrase.
Relationship.
Wow, one word, I like that. Yes, ma'am.
So you're about to predestine
with spiritual blessings through God's sovereignty. Yeah, more than 10 words, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. She starts to count. 12. Oh, we got 12. See, we got 12 a lot. Go ahead. You brought it down to one.
My paraphrase was the glorious church.
Good, that's good. Now that is important if you guys... What you were supposed to do is look at the literature within the context. The broader context of Ephesians is just that, the church. Okay? So. she can't tell time, but she does good. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? One more before we move on. Now, they understand what you're putting into your words. Now, if you whittle that down even further and pick out the couple of words, you're developing your theme. Okay? In other words, if you were going to teach this passage, I can't remember what all you guys said, but But inheritance. She said the inheritance we have. So in the inheritance of the Spirit or the inheritance of Christ. Somebody's over here said blessing. I can't remember who it was. Blessing. Blessing in Christ. Okay? You see what I'm saying? You said all of that, but you can't say all that as your theme. You can't. I know you notice on Sunday mornings I try to keep it down to one or two words. The preeminence of Christ. Right? There's a lot more to it, obviously, than that. But that's the main thrust of what I see when I study the book of Colossians. So your theme. Now you're going to whittle this. You're going to change it. You're going to move it around. Okay? So don't think that what you're seeing right now is going to ultimately be the one that you're going to use that you feel confident to teach from. It's going to change. It's going to morph. Okay? And that's just what happens. Because the more you get into the passage and the more you start pulling it apart, something that initially jumps out at you will metamorphose into something else. Does that make sense? So you'll see that. It's going to happen with your outline. It's going to happen all that. And as you continue to approach the passage, new things will jump out. And you'll see a different break than you saw before. And you just adapt. Okay? Remember, observation. Ah, CSI. I didn't see that the first time. Right? That's what we're talking about. Okay. Now, develop a basic outline. Okay? There's really no way for you guys to show me. But right now, remember, we're just starting by drawing the lines. Remember we talked about that last week. Drawing the lines where you saw the passages. So just a couple of you people, the ones that haven't said anything yet, where did you see breaks? Just tell me the verses. In other words, I think it's obvious that everybody recognized the break between verse 2 and 3. I mean, that's a clear one, right? He's going from greetings into his message. There's a clear break there between verses 2 and 3. Oh, you didn't see it?
I don't think there is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think there was.
Ooh, man, my elbow. Ooh.
I thought the break was down at 7.
Well, there is. Yeah.
Six was like a salutation.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We're going to talk about that, but that's fine. Yeah, so where else? Some saw 2 and 3, between 2 and 3. Some saw between, what did you say, 6 and 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Where else? Anybody else see anything else? 10 and 11? Okay, interesting. Okay. All right. What about you? You're just standing up here looking.
Because I need my
first. It's pink thing again. There we go. Okay, but you get the. So, but everybody, did you recognize changes in his thought? He's focusing on one aspect, he breaks into another aspect, he breaks into another aspect, and so on and so forth. Now, sometimes there's three or four of those in a very short period, very few verses. Other times there's one in massive verses. That's what you have to learn to see. And that's, again, it's a skill that you have to develop. Okay? So that's your basic outline. And then once you did that, right, then you were going to write down and on a piece of paper. Remember I put observation up here. Remember that? And I said you start writing down. And then you ask the investigative questions. The who, what, when, where's, how's, and why's. Okay? 5 W's and an H. So, I mean, we don't really have time to get into that, but that's pretty self-evident, so I don't think... Yes, sir?
So you do that, the who, what, when, where, why, for each break?
No, I do it per verse. And again, see, I've got it in a specific spot in the teaching, but remember, you can ask those questions. You'll learn to ask the questions as you're... You see what I'm saying? But I'm trying to teach, so I've got to teach it in sections. Because what I would do is I would approach the passage, identify the type of literature, identify my context, and then I would begin to read and I'd say, okay, here's what he's saying. So ultimately, this is what I think he's trying to drive home. Okay, and I see in his trying to drive that home, he's got this here, and in these things here I'm seeing, well, and a lot of the times for me and for some of you in here, things like just a goofy thing, what is an apostle? You know, I think everyone in here probably knows what an apostle is. But remember, I approach everything from a teacher's perspective. So I approach it that I may be sharing with people who don't know what an apostle is. So I'm gonna every time I come across that word, especially in an introduction like this or greetings, I'm going to make it part of that and I'm going to explain that. That's why you guys hear me repeat, you think it's repeating. But I'm doing it for the benefit of those who don't understand what an apostle is. Okay? So you want to do, that's what you want to do, but that, you see, it all happens at the same, it's all simultaneous, okay? And there are other things that I would be doing at the same time, but I don't want to, I got in trouble for getting the cart out in front of the horse from the pink lady here, so I don't want to do that again. But so right now I'm teaching you guys, just go step by step by step. When you start doing this on your own, and we get a couple of weeks into this thing, it's all going to happen all right there. Remember the baseball example I showed you last week about when we taught it, when I coached baseball, even at the varsity level in high school, okay, and even at the college level when Rick played. When you break down the batter's swing, there's basically three movements. Some would say four, but basically it's three. Now you go, okay, this step one is this. Step twist is your back. So it's one, two, you just cock your toe in like this. Three is your hips, and then four is the bat, right? This is what you do. Now, I'm teaching that because I want to see that as I'm coaching them. But I don't want them standing in the batter's box trying to pick up the spin of the ball and saying, gee, here comes a bender. One, two, three. No. I want you to, it should be bam. One, two, three, four just happens, just bam, all at once. There's no, but you teach it one, two, three, four. Football is the same thing. Basketball, which I never coached, I would imagine is the same. Pretty much the same with, you know, anything, school, right? You have to teach it like this, but when it actually happens, it happens all at once. Okay? So we're just breaking this down as a teaching method. So the investigative questions, Fred, I feel like I got way off base there, but the point to your question is, yeah, things you're going to ask these really in all of this. And so don't worry about if you were already seeing those as you were breaking it into divisions, you know what I'm saying, verse divisions or segments or anything like that. And then again, it'll happen. The more you do it, the more you do it, the more you do it, it all happens. I mean, I'll do a complete observation on a passage of this size. It probably, now remember, observation only, probably would take me about an hour, say, or 90 minutes to fully see what's going on in the verse, taking it apart. Okay? Now, observation is going to take us the longest to learn in class, but interpretation is the longest when you're actually doing it, because now you've got to word search, you've got to do studies on culture, you've got to do studies on manners, and you know, you got to understand geographical, cultural, historical settings, you got to understand who the, you know, biographies and what all of that stuff is going on, so you have to research all of that stuff.
But during your observation, that's when you're going to pull up a lot of those questions that you're going to want to look up in your interpretation.
It's absolutely.
That's what a lot of mine works. Like, okay, passing Ephesus right now.
So right.
Before, after John, before, after Timothy.
Right.
What time period are we talking about?
Yeah.
What are the Romans doing?
Exactly.
All of these questions are coming online as I'm starting to read it, because I want to know what
right.
Why
is he addressing this issue?
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Exactly right. And that's the thing. And there's this tendency to want to say, well, let's see who was in there. And you want to jump over into interpretation and find out. You just grab onto the table and go, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm not. Don't make me.
The blue letter Bible of mine to print it off today.
Don't touch yourself, man. Oh, man. Yeah, so the interpretation process, when you're actually doing it, will take longer, because remember, now you're answering the questions and researching the stuff that you found in observation. But for class purposes, observation takes longer, because we want to learn how to explode the verse. Okay? So that's what happens. Now, the inductive study chart, like I said, we kind of touched on this. This was right at the end, but basically what we were doing is just, all I'm saying there is write it down. That example in your books there on page 7, in the black, or 13, that was just to show you what it might look like. Now, yours does not have to be in columns like that. That's only because I don't know how else to put it in the book, you know, to where it looks like. But I would, like I said, I write observation on a piece of paper, and I just fill 5 or 6 pieces of paper up with observation.
I started doing my who, what, where, and why's, and all that in my observation. Is that bad?
In your observation, you mean in your reading and saturation? Yeah, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. It's all going to happen simultaneously. And then you're going to see how we add this other stuff in, and that's all going to happen. Does this get getting confusing? You'll see it as we go. Okay? All right? I'm going to work it up here on the board and show you. Okay? So, basically now, here's what I want to do. I want to just show you guys. Now, again, remember, okay, don't compare with me or with anyone else. All right? So I'm just going to give you a breakdown on how. Whoops, let me click over one more slide here now. Okay, now you can see here's my breakdown. It's up on the board. I didn't write anything on the PowerPoint because I wanted to show you on the board. Obviously, I identified the literature as epistle. There's the stuff I knew immediately that I wanted to focus on. Okay, this is the stuff that's has to be you know, kept in my context. I looked, obviously these are the first 14 verses of the letter. So I said, okay, so what is, where does Paul go after this? And obviously, it's not my intention to break the whole letter down, though I would do that. If I was teaching you guys on a Sunday morning, I would do that. I would know, obviously, what's going to happen, you know, for me teaching about 8 months from now, when we get to verse 3 finally. But I just broke a couple just to give you an idea. So Paul moves from these verses, 1 to 14. Now notice I haven't said what those verses are about yet, because I'm thinking context. I've identified the literature. I'm thinking context. Now I want to find out where my verses begin and end that I'm going to work with. Okay? So after those verses, he commends them and prays for them from... Oh, it is on tape, isn't it? Excuse me. Pardon me. Anyway, yeah. Yeah. So then from verse 15 on, things are going to change. Okay? But I was just trying to show you. So I would look at the letter in its entirety, right? If I was going to be doing this, and I would say, okay, he's taking us from here, then he's building this here. Remember the building block? He's built this. He's going to throw this on top of it. He's going to throw this on top of it. And then when I get to the end of the book, as I've read it, I'm going, okay, now I understand. All right? I see what he's trying to communicate, at least as I see it. Now again, my brother could teach the exact same passage, completely different. It's okay. That's the cool thing about God's Word. No one has monopoly on it. Right? It's His Word, not ours. So in my paraphrase, here's what I came up with in the first 14 verses. All of the blessings that we have, and I put owner possess in there because at this point I'm not sure which word I want to use, to tell you the truth. Okay, that's why I put it there. So all the blessings that we have, we own or we possess, whichever one, because of Christ. And I've got of Christ because the rest of the letter, as you identified, and somebody else, really drives Christ home. Okay? So that's what we have. So then this is, okay, well, here's my theme then. Here's what I'm seeing overall. If I break down that paraphrase and I put it into just a short thing, then it's the spiritual blessings from, and I saw three places where those blessings come from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. Okay? But notice I put in parentheses there, which I would do on my paper. I would write, but it seems to be focused on the Son because of the extended context. So that's why I've underlined Son. Because now it's telling me something. Okay, I'm seeing that though the Father is mentioned, and He's obviously an important character in this, and so is the Holy Spirit, and so is He, okay, it's the Son that really draws the attention of the rest of the letter. So that tells me right off the bat that He's going to be the predominant one throughout the book.
And obviously the Christhood of Jesus, I thought, as well. Because he seems to focus on
absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Any time that you read one of Paul's letters, when you get his introduction, you find a lot of that.
And, right.
But he seemed to be focused on that. And I haven't, you know, I've never done a study on Ephesians.
Yeah, it's cool, huh? This is good. Yeah. Oh, good. That's good.
But, I mean, is that something that he carries on through?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Oh, heck yeah. And he's just going to drive this home in the whole chapter 2 with the grace, faith issue. Oh, man. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, in the outline right now, remember, we're not putting points, but I personally saw, as I showed you guys, shared with you guys earlier, some of you saw one, some saw two, some saw more. I see four. And I did break the greetings down in 1 to 2. And here's the reason I did that, okay? So basically, here's what I'm doing. Okay, so I would write my observation on my paper. And I got to keep looking back because that's the passage I have. So Paul, an apostle. So in verse 1, I always do this, verse 1, Paul, okay? And then underneath that, I write an apostle. This is how I do it. You don't have to write this if you don't want. If you want to, you're certainly welcome to. Yeah, this is how I did my homework during the week. No, it's going to continue on, but this is all I could fit on this slide. So remember now, on the slides, don't get confused. Because there's so much there, I had to break it into, you know, different slides. Okay, I'm just going to cheat and use my notes. So Paul, an apostle, by, and this is really significant, by God's will. He's not just apostle because he chose to be. Oops, damn, I just went into interpretation. Okay, I hate to do when I do that. Yep, I am. And then you have, two, the saints at Ephesus. So you kind of get an idea how I'm already doing this, right? And then notice how I'm spacing this down or breaking it apart, because this is, you don't have to do this, okay? You can line them all up. I just do this because then when I go to outline and I put my points in, you see what I'm saying? It's already there for me. Okay, so in every little phrase that I feel is modifying to the saints, well, they're not just any saints, they're the saints at Ephesus. So you see, I've moved them in there. Now, you don't have to do that. Make sure you understand that. Okay, and you can break this up any way you choose to do it. Okay, the saints at Ephesus, now there's a change here also. They're faithful in Christ. Okay, then verse 2. Okay, you can see how long this is going to take, right? Now I don't want to jump ahead again and freak anybody out, but at the same time, I'm spotting my words that I want to research. I'm already asking my questions, but because of the class, we're not doing that yet. Okay? But it's okay if you do. So
as you're doing this, are you also starting in your next step as well and just kind of jotting things there?
Yeah, the way I see this, Rob, is you know, as a mechanic, it's like when I go after something, all right, a guy brings a car in and he's got a miss, okay? First thing I'm going to do is I got to jump in and I got to find out what's missing. What is it one cylinder, two, three, four, six, seven, eight, whatever it is, okay? So I have to identify, first of all, what the problem is. It's a miss. Then I've got to get all the stuff together and try to figure out what's causing the miss. Do I have a burnt plug? Do I have a bad plug wire? Do I have a bad cap? Do I have whatever? Blah, 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 blah. Nowadays, you don't even have caps and rotors, right? But anyway, so that's what I do here. When I go to a parts house and they say, oh, what part do you want? And they show you that exploded view. That's how I see this. I know it's weird, but that's the way I am. Yeah. Yeah, as I go through it, I'm already starting to pull it apart because I want to see what's in there. See? Observation. And even though these are the initial steps, they're going to help me later on. So the more I expand it now, the more space I have to work later.
So somebody like, I don't have as much knowledge as you do.
Right.
You said you got your thing, and I looked at my thing and looked at yours and went, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but that's okay. Well, I based that on what I read in those 14 verses. Okay. And what I kept seeing was...
You don't start your observation process until you've read through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, once I know what kind of... Once I know what kind of literature I'm working with, and obviously I know, right. Obviously, you know, I'd be pretty sad if I didn't. Yeah. So once I already know that, then I say, okay, I'm going to start teaching on Ephesians. So I've got to get through chapter 1. So where, as I start through chapter 1, where do I stop? Right? Okay. And for me, at verse 14, and that's why 1 to 14, I saw that. And then 15...
Yeah.
I know, it's true. Yeah, I mean, it would take me 3 weeks to teach through it, but to study through it, that's when I see that. Right. So do you kind of get the idea? Gee, it seems I've got a reputation. And then he goes, grace and peace, right? Absolutely. See, you guys are listening. Good. Now that's a...
Yes, there is no peace without grace.
Yeah. Now that's actually it's moving into interpretation.
Sorry.
Bad Robs. Okay. Grace and peace. Now, not watch this. This is really cool to me. From God, and I hate when I don't capitalize. That just drives me crazy. From God our Father, and you don't have to write every and as and stuff. I just do because I spot them as I study through the original languages. So, but if you just write what's basically being said, and from the Lord, because this goes to what Rob Leet was saying, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's really significant. If I don't want to point it out right now because I'd be getting ahead of myself, which I was asked not to do. But, I'm yakking. I'm not paying attention. Yep, I forgot that. Yep, right there. Now that's really significant, right? In fact, this would be when I go through my questions, I'm going to say, why does he use the Lord Jesus? Gosh, Rick, finish it, man. And why didn't he just say from the Lord, from Jesus, from the Christ, from the, you know, the Lord Jesus, whatever?
Well, you got to start before that and go, why does Paul identify himself?
And as you flow, as you go back and flow through it, you see why.
The more that you go through Paul's letter, you recognize that he does certain things for certain reason. You know, he addresses himself as a bondservant. He addresses himself as an apostle.
Right.
You know, why?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so there's my first break. I'll just do that like that. That's how I see it. Now watch. Now over here now, I'm going to just, you know, this is my second page or whatever, okay? I asked Marie actually if I should make a copy of this and hand this out to you guys, but it didn't copy well because it was pencil.
Are you going to do that then for the next verses?
For the next verses, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I need to click. There we go. Yeah, where I see the change in thought. Remember, he's changing direction. That's what I see. That's where I saw it, right? And yeah, I saw a break there, and this is, and you'll see why here in a minute.
Let's go back to if I had seen the break at 6,
right? And there is one at 6. You did good. Yeah.
I saw it 6.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do right now. As a matter of fact, yeah. Okay. So now I don't know what my verses are yet, but I'm going to basically start. Okay, I see a break there, so I'm going to start another. Basically, category, okay, and I see the and here again I'm paraphrasing what I've read, but I see blessings now in these next verses from the Father. Gosh, I almost did it again. Okay, now what? I'm sorry. See now, well, watch. Let me show you. And you'll see this here. What's the first? The first is that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm just going to write HR, in the heavenly realms. Okay? Okay, the second blessing we have, and that's, by the way, that's verse 3. Then in verse 4, chosen to be holy and blameless. There's the second blessing that we have. What is to be holy and blameless. Blameless. Notice in love, that's huge to me. So again, I'm observing. The third thing is verse 5. And I see predestined. Predestined to be adopted. Kind of see how it's going?
When you saw predestined to be adopted, did red lights go off for you and sirens and all that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And immediately I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to teach on this, I'm going to have to set up and go through predestination.
Right, which will be next week and why that's a key word.
Right.
And we have to dig into it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, remember we talked about that before? His pleasure and will. So I'm kind of seeing a pattern. I don't even have this written down here. But, why does that do that? Must be when I walk back and forth. But there's a pattern that's going on here, and I don't even have that written on my notes. Everything that he's saying that I'm seeing as blessings in the Father, he's sort of completing the thought, okay? Blessed with every spiritual blessing, not just any spiritual blessing, or not any place for it, but within the heavenly realms. So that tells me immediately that there's something waiting for me, and that I already possess. Remember in my theme, things that we possess. No, that was my paraphrase. Things that we possess, own, or however it was I said that. See, I'm already seeing that. So this tells me right away there's something out there that God has got for me that I'm not even aware of yet. Now, you're going to see that in this passage, because in a few verses, he's going to define what that is. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I don't want to confuse anybody. Does everybody see that? Okay. So, 3, 4, 5, and then there's a special verse here for me in verse 6, and I'll show you why. To his praise and glory, to his praise and for the Father, to his praise and glory and grace. There we go. Now, I'm assuming, remember, I'm studying this out, so we're assuming I don't know that there's a break. But if I keep reading, and then notice what he finishes that off with, accepted in the beloved. That's, again, huge.
Capital B.
Yeah.
That's what I'll call your attention right there.
Accepted in the beloved? Yeah, that's a capital B.
No, that's what
I'll
call
you. Oh, I got you. I'm thinking, man, didn't I draw a capital?
Yeah, well, okay. Because John, especially, would often call us his beloved.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're talking about the beloved.
Right, the beloved. So, yeah, you'd already. Yeah. Okay, so I would assume I keep reading here and I'm thinking, oh, well, now I see another change here. Because now he starts talking about the beloved. In him, who's him? The beloved. See? Now notice what happens here. And I'd say, oh, okay, so what I see here now is verses 3 to 6 are blessings from the Father. Here's the breakdown of this blessing. He concludes with the praise of God's glory for those blessings. Right? Then he goes now to verse 7. Verse 7, and right now we're assuming I don't know the rest of this, right? Now, as I've read through this, I'm seeing, oh, so now he's going to talk about blessings from the Son. Well, because he says, all of these things to his praise and glory, and then because we're accepted in the Beloved, right? He has made us accepted. I should have wrote made accepted. He mentions beloved, and then he starts talking about the beloved. So I say, okay, so that's the Son that we're now going to move into.
In him, right?
Oh, sorry about that. Thank you. Huh? Yeah, in him, because that him is tying back to here. But there's something that happens. Watch this. So in him we have... Here's again. Notice again. Remember I said own, possess... Whatever, again, we have, see, in him we have. So there's ownership again. I'm seeing this, and I'm saying, okay, there's a theme that's developing here. Okay, we have, first of all, redemption through his blood. And this is let me finish this. And then we also have forgiveness of sin, two different things. Now again, my brain, because I already know to look for the words and stuff, these things are already jumping in there. But for class's sake, forgiveness of sin according to his grace. And I could actually write that down there, but I'm running out of space, so I'm going to put it up here. Yeah, redemption through his blood. Okay. And that's verses 7 to 8. Okay. And then the next thing we have is the revelation of his will, is how I would just put that in my own words. Of his will. And I've got over here, I've got pleasure and purpose. Holy cow, I can't see this. Oh, yeah. I should have brought my dang glass. Oh, fullness, and what's the last one? Gather. Why do I have written gather? And gathered. It should say gathered. That's why I was confused. Fullness. Yeah. Well, remember, though, I've, like you guys, I've read this over and over and over, right? Yeah. At this point. But that's how I know what's coming, in other words, because even though we haven't got to verse 10.
So you didn't
use 9? Well, yeah, that starts in verse 9, right? Have you made to, oh, this will. Yeah, right here, verse 9. Yeah, and then revelation of his will and those things. Actually, these are both verse. This is verse 9 and 10. And then verse 11. I saw we have obtained an inheritance. And an inheritance by the counsel of his will. That's huge. Now watch what happens here. Verse 12, as I read this, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. So verse 12 is to the praise of his grace. Who's his in this case? Yep. And for our text here, for the Son, for to the praise of his glory and to the praise of his glory. Yeah. Whoops. To the praise of his, there we go, glory. So you see why I got breakdown? So watch what's happened now as I go back and look at this. And again, I read and I reread and I reread. I'm telling you, you gotta keep doing that and you'll start seeing. In this part here where we had the blessings from the Father, we saw what those blessings are, and then Paul thanks him for all that's been done in the Beloved. That Beloved becomes the hymn of verse 7. Actually, oops, I'm going to knock myself down here. Verses 7 to 12 now. See, I'm going to expand that. See, I started with verse 7, but now I see something else. So he said that there, but notice he says it down here. But this time it's to the Son. I should have put here as his Father. Right? Yeah. So the Beloved brings us into the hymn, the Son. Inheritance goes into, what's verse 13 say? Start talking about. Starts developing the idea of the inheritance. So I'm going to move back over here. Oops, crud. Did everybody have that? They wanted it? Okay. Yep. So there's my second line. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Okay. And then the Holy Spirit, and I'm thinking, okay, well, obviously the last two verses, again, I've read it and read it and read it. I know they're dealing with the Holy Spirit. So if there's blessings from the Father, and they're those, and blessing from the Son, and they're those, then there must be verses I know now. I've only got two left. So verses 13 to 14 are going to be blessings from the Spirit. Oop. No, you don't. Remember, I said there's no right or wrong. Remember, don't try to see it the way I see it. You're going to mess yourself up. I'm just showing you how I did this. That's all. If you didn't do it that way, this way, it's okay. But you'll learn in time to start seeing this stuff. Okay? All right? So blessings from the Spirit. And then I see first is the in whom you also trusted. Okay? Actually, I didn't write that down. But of course, the hymn ties back to Christ now, but we're going to see where the Spirit comes up. In Him we trusted. I can actually see right from this side. That's good. After you heard the word of truth. After receiving, ultimately, what's the word of truth? The gospel. Right? Okay. After you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of our salvation. This one, you could actually tie this one back to verse 12 if you wanted to, but because of this last phrase here is why I did that. Having believed, you get the idea. That's why I like to do things on the computer, because you have spell check. Yeah. Then you were sealed. Amen. After receiving the gospel, you were sealed. Okay? Now that's all, this is all verse 13. And then in verse 14, guess what we see again? to the praise of His. Nearest antecedent, who has been just been talking about. Where did I put the Holy Spirit? Or didn't I? I did, didn't I? You were sealed. Whoops, here we go. There it is. Sorry about that. So this His ties, here's what we call direct antecedent, right? So that one there ties back to Him. To the praise of His, this time. Yeah. Which are one. See? To the praise of His glory. Okay? So do you see how... Now that's all we were supposed to do this week. Okay? Well, yeah, but you get... look, nobody's going to expect you guys to do what I just did here. That would be nuts. Unless you've been teaching this stuff before. Okay? Well, yeah, but right now I just wanted to... Just show you this, and the greetings are off there, so I wish this was reversed the other way, but that's okay. So now I've read, I've saturated, I understand the context, I've got the ends of 14, because 15 is going to take us in a different direction again. So I know that this is the context, this is the passage, the verses that I'm going to work within. Okay? I've identified that, I've already got my theme, we already talked about that, I've already got my basic outline with my lines here. Okay? And here it is, it's verses 2 to 3, verses 1 to 2, verses 3 to 6, verses 7 to 12, verses 13 to 4. So I've got four breakdowns there. Okay, that's how I see it. Now if you don't, it's okay. Trust me, it's okay. Actually, I showed you. You could break this down differently if you wanted to. I just saw one as I was going through it. And frankly, on my own, I would look at that again and say, well, should I put that verse, should I put verse 13 with 12? I'd wrestle with that, whether I did or I didn't. But then I would say, well, the Holy Spirit comes into play here, so I'd probably leave it where it is. Okay? But anyway, so that's what I've done. So I've got that paraphrase, I got that theme, you know, the stuff, this is all telling me, and this is how I got my theme. This isn't how I got my theme, that is what made me see this. These are things we own or possess or we have because of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is how I got my theme. Okay? See, this is all stuff that I saw as I read through this passage. Now, the sixth point there, chart, is what I just did. Now, this obviously looks different than the one in your books because it's in a column. But remember, there was no way for me to put this into your notes without drawing massive confusion. So it was just easier to break it down and really just put it in a single column. And the point of that is to show you that it's only observation, nothing on interpretation, nothing on application. Okay? So now, okay, I've done this. So by the time I personally am at this point, I've probably read this passage, I would guess, 15, 20 times. Okay? Now I've got this set in my mind, okay, for teaching purposes, because I would have already identified these things, which is where we're going to go next week. We're not going to have time to start it this week. I would start as Rob has already done. I would have already started noticing key words. Predestination is obviously a key word. Okay?
I had to do that backwards,
though. It's okay.
I have to get my word list together first.
Yeah. And
that's the only way I can start to break things
right,
down.
Right.
And, I mean, even if you look at my breakdown, if I were to lay it up there, we have a lot of similarities in how we did it.
Right.
But I have to start with, okay, what are my key words? You know, grace and peace, naturally, the first
right, yeah, boom, grace. There it is.
You know, and then it's, you know, holy and without blame. And, you know, this is imprudence. And from there, things started to break down a little bit for
me. Right. And that's okay. Again, remember, I'm trying to teach, start here, do this. But like Marie, that's the same thing she said. She sees it backwards.
Right.
But that's only going to matter right now. Once we get past this point to the word study, you'll have the freedom anytime you want to do your own passage to see the words at the same time you're seeing all of this. But just for sake of teaching.
When they taught me IBS, the observation.
They do. That's why I...
So that's why I...
Exactly.
I never saw clear... This is the first time I've seen a clear delineation between the two.
Right.
You know, it really makes sense.
Yeah, but, yeah. And remember, the motive behind that was these Kekchi pastors. Because you can't blur those lines. You can if you understand. But if you don't understand and your literacy is... I mean, what we said, their comprehension level when they read... At best, sixth grade level, at best, Okay? So you have to rethink all this and think, okay, well, so this is why I said do this first, then do this and add that to it, then do this and add that to it. Remember the baseball. 1, 2, 3, 4. And by the time we finished, if I ever got this video back, I could show you guys Pastor Felice. When we were filming him as we were translating the observation process into Kekchi, we had a guy come down and do a film, and he's talking to Pastor Felice, and Felice says, this here, learning how to see God's Word, he said, changed everything for me. No one had ever showed them that. So I didn't want any blurring or any... I wanted to them to see, learn to see what's there before you start understanding what's there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's interesting is what you guys are going to notice now. The more we get into this, when I start teaching on Sunday mornings, now you're going to start seeing. Oh, that's why he says that. That's why he does. You're going to start seeing the structure because the way I study plays itself out when I teach. Okay. Oh, really?
We teach this in 8th grade. It's power notes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool, that's cool.
I can show you the power notes breakdown.
I know how to do power notes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what it is. It's just
it is, and I don't know if I did it on this or not. No, I didn't, huh? But I, because that's how I would attack the passage. I would say, already, I've already seen these three things. So greetings would be one, blessings from the Father be two, blessings from the Son would be three, blessings from the Spirit be four. It just automatically, as I'm reading through it, I'm seeing the breakdown, and then the staggering of this goes from Roman 1 to the capital A to number 1. Right? And
exactly.
Which, again, remember I said, you see that every Sunday morning, you guys. You're going to start recognizing it. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
It's like you take the keywords and you're going through it. So I started doing that immediately. And I wasn't sure if you wanted me to do the power notes or anything. And you started doing this. And I was like, okay. But it's a different experience. Because you like find it, you only have like two sections of your down. Flip it over one another.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And all this stuff that's connected, you know, as I stagger things like this, you could just write that all out. And you don't notice, again, I've got, you know, this is wider than this. You don't have to do that if that gets confusing. And some of you can put 3, 4, and 5 together. It's okay. Remember, it's okay. God is not up there in heaven going, well, no, that isn't the way I taught you. You know, no, that's not it. You know, 8th grader. Right? No, he's not going to do that. So however you see it, it's okay. But trust me, if you learn the process and you start doing it, this stuff is going to just flow. I'm telling you, you don't even have to, you're just going to see it and you're just going to go, oh, okay.
Yeah,
just
going to see it my
road. It's your way or the highway. Yeah, yeah. Unlike the Father. That's right, because it'll be what God wants you to see, not what he wants me to see.
Mm-hmm. And so I recognize a lot of things that they've taught
right.
me along the way. And, you know, so when I see Paul an apostle, my first
yeah, you, you know, bam, you just know, yeah.
They click, and as you do this more, and it's like working out. You know, the more you work out, the better you get at it.
Exactly.
This is the same kind of great deal. You know, this is like the first day at the gym. You know, you're going to go home tonight, you're going to be sore.
That's good. Oh, brain cramp. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Who's speaking? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about what you told me. Everybody's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Some will do a little bit, and some will really get into it.
Absolutely.
Pull it all apart, even like verse by verse.
Right, right. And see, and remember, my role is a calling. So the way I see things has been given to me, right? This is nothing... that comes from, you guys know me well enough to know it didn't come from this. There's a lot of room up there. It kind of rattles around like a BB in a shoebox kind of thing. You know what I mean? But so you know it didn't come from there. So it's a gift from God. And I was hesitant to do this because I didn't want you guys to freak out. But I felt like by doing it, you could understand the explosion part of it. Yeah, and you don't exactly. And that's why I wanted to do it more than anything else. It wasn't for any other reason than to show you that you can do this. And look, we can break these down. Redemption through His blood, right? Or through His then blood. You see what I'm saying? You can tear this as far apart as you want to go. There's no end to what you can do with this stuff, when this method, when you understand what's going on. Okay?
And the other thing is, you know, a lot of us, and myself included, have been in prayer about, okay, why am I doing this? And, you know,
right.
My focus, it's different than your focus.
Right.
You know, I'm not breaking this down so that I'm going to be teaching it. I'm breaking it down because, you know, I want to dig deeper into God's Word and draw closer to Him through it. And so that's why when I go to break it down, it might be different than what you do. Because
right. Right.
And so, you know, that's why I do it
yeah.
this way.
Yeah, it's not about me standing up there throwing out Greek words and trying to sound all impressive and stuff like that, because that doesn't help anyone, including me. If it's just in here, how many times have you heard me say this? If it's just in here, what have I accomplished?
Right.
Not a stinking thing. It means nothing. If it doesn't get from here to here, then I've failed someplace. I've fallen short. And so when I study to see this and what this means to me, and noodle it through the whole week, and after I've researched all of this stuff out, and all of a sudden I'm just bursting with stuff that I want to share with someone else because I've seen what God has done for me. This is amazing. He did this stuff for me. You see what I mean? Now when I take that, I transfer that, it's so much a part of me, to that pulpit in there, and that's why I teach the way that I teach, because it's what He's showed me, and I want you guys to see it. That's just how it works. You know, not everybody is like that, but that's how I'm wired. You know, I'm motivated by that, the idea of the gift of mercy, because it bothers me that someone might not understand what God has done for them. So it makes me want to break it down and say, look, here it is. I heard this a long, long time ago when I was in North Carolina. There was J. Vernon McGee. And he was talking about, somebody asked him one time, and Dr. J. Vernon McGee. You guys know what I'm talking about? Friends, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 2. I love that dude, man. Can't wait to hang out with that guy in heaven. He's like Chuck Smith. Genesis? I can't do this voice. Trav, you guys got to get Trav. Trav does a perfect Chuck Smith. Well, if you guys will turn me, I don't know how he does it, but anyway. Never look at it. He just, it's like, oh, yeah. And do this from memory. And you just go, oh my goodness, how does he do that? Yeah, it really is. Well, Swindoll, all these guys. But again, that's their gift. I don't teach like those guys. I'm not wired like that. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, J. Vernon McGee. And he said, somebody said, well, how do you, you know, you? I mean, obviously your knowledge. And he said, look, here's the thing. He goes, you know what? When the kids come into the kitchen, he goes, they don't care what's in the cookie. He goes, the person giving them the cookie needs to know the recipe. The child doesn't care. And I thought, wow. So I have to know the recipe. That's my job. It's my role. It's the mission that God has given me, the ministry that He's given me. I need to know all of that stuff. Got a call from a guy, an email from a guy today. I meet with him Friday. That's checking out our church. And he said, I just got some questions about your church and I'd really like to sit down. You know, so immediately my brain's going, oh crud, what's he going to ask? You know, I know you Calvary Chapel guys are a little weird. So I don't, you know, but I'm just, yeah. So I don't know. But you need to understand that if you're going to be in this position. But you don't, if you're not, God hasn't placed that call on your life. Okay, so don't worry about it. If you get parts of this, it'll be fine. Just keep practicing those parts. There you go. Yes, ma'am.
Just for
clarification. Yeah, we're not starting keywords and phrases yet. Wendy.
It's hard not to.
I know. I know I do. I jump back and forth. But we're going to do that next week. And the only reason I don't do it right now is because you need to understand. We start talking about similes and looking for metaphors, looking for that. You need to understand that stuff because it's more than just a keyword. Got to know what kind of keyword. Yeah, so you got a whole another week to go back over this and look over this again based on the notes and stuff. Okay? Well, basically, everybody pretty much has covered them. I'm not going to add anything to what you guys didn't already ask. Remember, those are questions that you are seeing that you want to ask. What is an apostle? What is predestination? Why is Paul writing this? Who was pastoring Ephesus at the time? Yeah, when did he write this? Is it the beginning of his ministry? Is it later? Yeah, who's in charge of Rome at this point? All this stuff changes everything. Where is Ephesus? That's huge. Yeah, it's in modern-day Turkey. It was in Asia Minor in the Bible. You know? No. Yeah, let us see it. Yeah. Okay, so just kind of take the week and go back over your, go back over the stuff we talked about. If you took notes, just kind of look them over and kind of just get a see. My point was to just show you guys sort of the flow and how you just start taking this apart. Oh, we have redemption in Him. Oh, and we also have forgiveness of sins. Oh, see what I'm saying? And you just begin to sort of go, man, oh man, and you just start building on that. Yeah, next, not this week. Nope, not tonight. We're already 7:30. Next Tuesday. Next Tuesday we'll dive into that.
So do we have homework?
No, just go back over this. Yeah, you got lucky this week. Fine tune it. And it's, I mean, look, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But if it was me, obviously, I would. I probably will to get ready for next time. Okay? All right.
A grade.
A grade.
You're one of them.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, you want to close this prayer, man?
Amen. How wonderful and amazing it is for us, Lord, and what a comfort it can be. Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and our minds to the glory of what you've given us. And Lord, let us just see the living word come to life before us. Father, as we all desire through this, I would pray that we just desire to draw nearer to you, that we draw closer to you, that we become more like you in all that we do. Father, just give us a heart and a thirst for your word that just makes us hunger to go through this again and again. And that every time that we go through it, Lord God, may we just first of all bring ourselves before you, Lord, and just ask for your guidance. And then, Lord, just look for you to reveal those hidden jewels that are hidden in there that have been set aside for your saints, Lord God, that we may just see your glory in all that we see, in all that we read and all that we do. Lord, we ask you now just to give us safe travel as we return to our homes. And bless those that weren't here tonight, Lord God. May they just... be prepared to come back next week and just join us again as we all just desire again to just draw near to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.